This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Tis the season, Piper. Being the professional I am, I had to run out to my car. We're going to do a Stephanie Pratt, the realtor that rocks, giving away a chance to go see Rat. I'm in, man. A little round and round, so we're going to do that later this hour. You get a chance to qualify and go see Rat with Larry's Limousine and Stephanie Pratt, the realtor that rocks. Head around to my car. Austin stepped in, helped with weather. I really appreciate that. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper. This hour, Mark Grody at 5:30, Bears sideline reporter. You got some good questions for Mark coming up?
I got plenty of questions. He's got the hard part is giving the answers.
We need to get the Sports Illustrated guy on that predicted the Bears to finish fourth, and I'm going to apologize to him in person and say, hey, that was my bad because I ripped you for saying the Bears were going to finish fourth, even though they're going to finish third in the division. It has not been a good year. So we'll talk to Mark Grody at the bottom of the hour. Right now, though, we welcome in the radio voice of the Missouri Tigers. That is Mike Kelly. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Lon. How are you doing today?
We are great, my friend. We got another bragging rights game coming up. It is the week of bragging rights, and I know it seems as though there's not as much hoopla, if you will, about this game, and it seems like it's fallen off just a little bit in the last couple of years, but we know how quick this thing can get back to where it needs to be. How excited are you? How excited is Missouri to get Illinois into St. Louis and try to win two in a row in this series?
Well, I think Missouri's excited because they finally won one.
Right.
You know, I want to see if they can make it two. You know, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Illinois has dominated the series between the two schools. I mean, not only the bragging rights aspect, but what this is, that 50th meeting between the two schools. And Illinois's got a sizable lead in the matchup between the two. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, at the, you know, from a standpoint, you know, I can remember when this was the toughest ticket in St. Louis, when literally you had people that were calling you weeks out begging, hey, do you know anybody that can help me get two? Can I get two? And it's not like that anymore. In fact, you know, we made the announcement Monday night on Conzo Martin's weekly show, plenty of tickets available, because that's what we're being told by the folks in St. Louis and kind of also by the schools. So, you know, I don't know what the attendance is going to be in. You know, but I just know this, that, you know, those that will be in the building, despite the 12-noon start, I think the atmosphere should be pretty good. And, you know, candidly, the 12-noon start annoys me. That's dictated by television, as we know. And this year, the SEC Network has the broadcast rights. And candidly, they don't have a fundamental clue about the passion for this game or for this matchup of the individual fan bases. So, you know, an early start, but hopefully a good matchup.
Yeah, Mike, the last 2 years, I think that the atmosphere in the building for those that are there has been at a pretty high level. Of course, you insert Jeremiah Tillman and Mark Smith and those dynamics of the rivalry. You don't have two ranked teams, but you do have animosity not only between the fan bases, but some guys that are familiar with each other on the court, and then two coaching staffs that recruit against each other. So what do you make of that dynamic and how that has potentially added to the rivalry that we now watch?
Well, you know, I mean, it was obviously, I go back a long time in terms of, it'll never match, I don't think, what it was when Lou and Norm were particularly on the sidelines. I just don't think that you'll see that. But there have been great matchups along the way, and there's no question that each coach that coaches in this rivalry wants to win the game. You know, the unique thing about, you know, the last couple of years, this year included, and last year is, as you mentioned, the Mark Smith, the Jeremiah Tillman, the Javon Pickett, additions, late additions to Missouri after being committed to Illinois, so that adds, obviously, to, I think, the frustration that exists, you know, for Illinois fans. But anyway, I look at what, you know, Brad Underwood has done in just a short amount of time, and I think he's a terrific coach who's had a terrific staff. And, you know, if you just break the numbers down, I mean, you know, Illinois is averaging almost 80 points a game. Missouri's having a hard time scoring more than 63 or 64 points each game. They're playing pretty good defense. But, you know, my question right now is, does Missouri have enough scoring to even stay in the game?
Right.
I guess we'll find out on Saturday. But, you know, I think for a lot of us that have been a part of it for a long time, you think back to those days when it was such a tough ticket and that it was evenly split, you know, 11 or 12,000 fans right down the middle. And I think we all yearn for those days to return. Hopefully they do.
Mike Kelly, radio voice of the Missouri Tigers. We're having a little bit of difficulty there with Mike with regards to the service or whatever you want to call it. What do you call that? Can you hear
the
me?
Connection.
Now? Connection. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
So we're efforting him. Alex's going to call him again to talk about that. I agree with Mike with regards to the fact that, and it goes back to what I was talking about with Kirk Ferentz and Hayden Fry being there so long. Norm Stewart and Lou Henson were at their respective schools for so long. And because of that, you know, it just, you know, if you have the same coach playing the same coach every year, something's going to happen to where it kind of sparks the rivalry and it kind of gets it fired up. And then that just goes to one year, to the next. So I totally agree with Mike in regards of the fact that I don't think it'll ever get back to what it was with under Norm and Lou. All right, Mike Kelly's back with us, radio voice of the Missouri Tigers. Had a bad connection there right at the end, Mike, so I apologize for calling you back here. I was going to ask you, you were talking about can Missouri score with Illinois? Talk a little bit about, I hate when people say talk a little bit. Mike Reese would just absolutely annihilate me right now, Mike Kelly. Discuss, I guess, what Missouri brings to the table. I know last year Javon Pickett had a big game in the Bragging Rights game. What do you see that they need to do against Illinois to maybe keep up scoring-wise?
Well, you know, I think for Missouri, it all revolves around, you know, how does Mark Smith shoot the ball from the perimeter, but then also can Jeremiah Tilton be a factor? Mizzou blitzed Illinois, or big blitz Southern Illinois, on Sunday, and Jeremiah Tilton had 2 points and one rebound. So, you know, he's got to be, much more of a factor in the game on Saturday than he's been really, throughout the course of the season. I think it's his best game so far from the point production standpoint, it's been 15 points, and he's going to be challenged on both ends of the court. You know, Colburn is going to pose, you know, obviously a force inside for Illinois. He's going to be the biggest player that Jeremiah's played against this season. And, you know, so can Jeremiah A, be effective offensively, but then more importantly, can he stay on the court? Hasn't fouled out yet this season, but he fouled out 10 times a year ago and foul trouble is something he tends to, live with each and every game.
With Jeremiah in particular, I know that obviously the game goes beyond just basic stats, but as a freshman averaged 8-4, as a sophomore 10-6, and this year now about 10-5. I know his foul rate has gone down progressively, you know, since the start of his freshman season, but is there something as far as a hang up in his development or fans maybe not seeing the Jeremiah they expected to get based on how good of a freshman year he had?
Well, I think part of it is that teams are focusing on taking him away, so he sees a double team on every possession. He's getting better at handling double teams, dribbling out of them, and making effective passes. So fundamentally, I think he's improved in that regard. He's not the best post-up player that you might expect for someone that's his size. He has a tendency to play vertical quite a bit down on the blocks. His teammates have struggled at times getting the ball inside of him. You know, Missouri, you know, shoots a lot of 3-point shots. And, you know, when they want to make it a focus of getting the ball inside to him, then he has a chance to be effective. But, you know, he's been the guy that most teams have tried to take away if they can. And then make Missouri basically live and die from the three. When they shoot it well, they have a tendency to be pretty good. And when they struggle, then you have Charleston Southern type results.
Mark Smith's the leading scorer, leading rebounder. He's shooting nearly 41% from three on a team that is shooting 26% as a collective unit. I wonder what – I can't do quick math of what that would be without Mark outside of that. But just how has he been playing? I know that him and Io both last year – kind of struggled a little bit. Obviously, it's a very emotional game, and you try to keep that under control. But what have you seen from Mark Smith as a junior now?
Well, you know, he's coming off of a game in which, you know, he was 7 of 9 from three against Southern Illinois and made shot very well. I think he was 9 of 11 in the game. But, you know, a year ago, what was it, 2 of 8, I think, from the field in the bragging rights game. So I think Mark's in the best shape that he's been in since he arrived in Missouri. I think he's really learning how to play off of Drew Smith quite a bit, and Drew's doing a good job of trying to find Mark in the right spots. But again, you know, good defensive teams have figured out that if you take Mark's space away, you know, and they can put the ball on the court, put the ball on the deck, that he's not nearly as effective, you know, pulling up off the bounce or driving the ball as he is if he just gives me the opportunity to square up, catch and shoot. And so his game has evolved. He's getting better driving. He's getting better, I think, off the bounce. But you know, most of his points are coming when he's able to come down in transition or come off of something off of an offensive set and just catch and shoot.
I did not appreciate, Mike, him going off against my Salukis. Man, that's not fair. You'll have to get him right on that one. Mike Kelly, radio voice of the Missouri Tigers. Last one from me, Mike. I want to go switch to football. Signing day today. Number one, what'd you think of Missouri's hire on the football side? And how are they keeping up there in the SEC? I know they've had some good seasons so far. Not as great of a season last year. That Wyoming loss still perplexes me early on. But what do you think of that program and the hire and going forward? What do you think of Missouri?
Well, like Eli Drinkwitz, I like the energy that he brings. You know, Barry Odom was dismissed after 4 seasons in which he went 25-25. His last year going to 6-6. And so had they not been on probation by the NCAA, he would have qualified for 3 consecutive bowl games. But, you know, I think Jim Stirk said it best, Missouri's director of athletics, when he made the change, is that Missouri had lost momentum. You know, one thing that was you know, difficult, I think, for Missouri fans is that in 3 of the 4 years that Barry Odom was here, he had 5-game losing streaks, and it's just hard to build any kind of continuity, you know, with your fan base when you have a sustained or a number of sustained losing streaks. So, you know, like Coach Drinkwitz, but, you know, it's like anything else in this day and age. What is your staff going to look like? You know, you can have a really good head coach or a really energetic head coach, but how good are those that surround him? I mean, so that still remains to be seen as he's still putting together his staff.
Mike Kelly, it's always an honor to have you on, my friend. Radio voice of the Missouri Tigers. Enjoy the game Saturday. Thank you, and maybe we'll do this again next year at this time.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Mike Kelly, radio voice of the Missouri Tigers, guy that spent a little time here in Champaign working when he was a younger man, so doing the stuff for Missouri. I asked you, Derek, about the Tigers and kind of bringing up their schedule. How has it looked like to date with regards to Missouri and what they've been able to put together in terms of a resume?
6-4. Their best win is on the road against Temple. That was 2 weekends ago.
I actually watched that game.
Yeah.
Parts of the game.
64-54 with the win there. They have losses at Xavier in overtime, because that's not a bad loss. Very close game. Mark Smith, I think, had a chance to win from three that he missed at the end of regulation. Butler, they lost to them. Butler's a very good team in the top 15, top 10 type of team. Lost to Oklahoma as well. The one blemish, real blemish on their resume, of course, is winning, or losing, I should say, at home against Charleston Southern, who's 300 in KenPom.
So a team that does not shoot very well from the three-point line.
Outside of Mark Smith,
who did, like Mike just alluded to, and I had read earlier, went off against my Salukis. So he's going to come into this game feeling good. And obviously, he's going to come into this game with a little bit of a, you know, chip on his shoulder, as will Jeremiah Tillman, as will Javon Pickett. And, of course, Pickett went off last year. That bothered me more than anything in that game. The Javon Pickett had like 13 or 14 points and looked like a world beater.
16
points. Wow. I just remember that thinking, why is Javon Pickett going off against Illinois? You know how that game is, man. That is from the tip. It is, if a college basketball game is played at 80% speed, it seems like that game is played at 110% from the tip. There's no slowing down. Everything is just back and forth, and essentially it's because of the idea that you don't have a home team and you don't have a road team. Both teams normally have usually close to the same amount of crowd, so every little basket is like it is a run almost. You know, you get 4 points in a row, and that place is going crazy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the other team scores, and they get four in a row, and they're going crazy. So it is just it's fun, and it's one of those where you see, and you almost have to kind of slow your heart rate down if you're those players. But I'm anxious to see what Missouri can do this year against Illinois, an Illini team that, hey, we need to get that trophy back.
That's right. You got to have that feeling. And, of course, over there they're talking a lot about the fact that they – not only lost last year, they got blown out. They lost by 16. So,
man, that's right.
Yeah, it was the largest deficit for either side within the last decade. So, as you mentioned, though, there and you think about Illinois, some of their issues on offense is turnovers. You can't get caught up in the moment, and you hear about it's a very emotional environment.
Yeah.
Both sides, it's very amped up in there, and you hear all week about the rivalry, and then as we've talked about throughout the week. You've got the different little intricacies with Io and Mark Smith,
right.
And Trent Frazier, and you got to be able to stay composed and make plays. But it's going to be a fast-paced game, I would think.
Io did not perform very well last year.
2 points.
So it'd be nice for him to kind of get off that. Trent Frazier, this is the kind of game he lives for.
In two appearances, he's averaging 25 points.
Oh, my. Game. And Georgie, you know, he kind of loves these games. What do you think this Kofi Tillman showdown will look like?
That's a good question. Kofi should get the better of him, in my opinion. Jeremiah can protect the rim.
Tillman's got length. Yeah.
He has length. He can move his feet. He just tends to foul. And if he foul, Kofi could put a couple fouls on him early.
Yeah.
And if he's out of the game, that's not a good spot for Missouri to be in. As far as defending at the other, is Kofi defending Jeremiah? I think he can do it pretty adequately. It's going to be a very good...
I agree.
Very good matchup. Very fun one to watch.
I think it's going to be fun. Alec, I know you live down in the kind of St. Louis area. Have you been to many of these games?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to go for the last maybe 8 to 10 years, and it's been something that I've cherished because I always go with my family, but I feel like every rivalry game is always talked about, well, this is for the fans, and I feel like this is so true with this Bragging Rights matchup, but over the last couple of years, and I know, Derek, you can probably comment on it more, covering the game and all the players that have been in it, I feel like this is almost becoming just as big for the players those last couple of years with Mark Smith leaving Illinois and leaving Illinois with really a bad taste in his mouth.
Well, it's personal. Yeah, I don't ever. I don't remember much in the past where you'd have. I don't think I ever remember somebody that was at Illinois and then went to Missouri or vice versa. I don't think that ever happened.
Yeah, I can't think of it either. And I know if you go back to like D. Brown and Darren Williams, like they'll tell you that they always wanted to win that game. But I feel like there was Big Ten games that they always wanted to win more.
Oh, no, they want to win that game.
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I'm not saying they don't. But I feel like now that there's like the personal thing where like Trent and Mark, like they came in together in the same class. They used to play together after practice here at UBIN. Like I feel like there's so much more of a – like, now there's actually bragging rights for the players compared to where in the past it might have just been more for the fans. And I think it's cool now that the players, you see them talking trash a little bit more. You see them giving each other crap. Even Alan Griffin last year before the game, a freshman who wasn't even here, was yelling at Mark Smith across the court.
I'm going to have to just call your youth on this. Because believe me, this is big for the players.
No, I know it is. Yeah.
I mean, so I don't think anything has changed, in other words. I know it's more personal in terms of, Mark was here, and now he's at Missouri, and Jeremiah was recruited here. But if you go back and talk to Frank Williams and Demir Kripalia and Stephen Bardo and on through the years, this game is that important. I mean that. I promise you that.
I'll take your word for it, and I assume it is. But I just feel like now there's more of like the personal thing where like, you think,
yeah,
I know
never
Trent still
that.
Has Mark in his phone, and I'm sure that like Trent will send Mark a message after the game if they win, and just have bragging rights over it, and I feel like that's cool.
Well, that's true.
It may not have had in the past.
Yeah, that's fair.
Least.
That's fair.
I think the dynamic has changed.
Do you really?
I do. And I'm not that old either.
Yeah.
But it's just the crossing of the line, I don't think you've had that before.
Well, no, you haven't had that. But for me, now, I could be wrong.
As far as importance and wanting to win that game, more than anything, I think that's been there.
So no, and I do see what both of you are saying, because there's never been a time where a guy was at Missouri and came to Illinois. or vice versa, right, except for this. And then a guy where, now there probably has been a time where one of the schools recruited another hard, like both recruited a guy hard and he ended up going, like Richard Keene probably was a guy that Missouri recruited pretty hard. I don't know that to be a fact, and ended up going to Illinois. So I see where you guys are coming from with regards to the actual, they know each other, but just the sheer importance of winning this game has not, I think that's just as important as with Bardo as it is with Mark Smith.
It's just interesting that at one point your class at Illinois, Tillman, Pickett, Demonte Williams, and Trent were all in the same class.
Wow.
And then Mark Smith was being pursued. Tillman and Pickett crossed the line and went to the other side.
Yeah.
Mark Smith came to Illinois, who was at the time maybe was talked about as the biggest get since D. Brown.
Yeah,
Mr.
True.
Basketball, you got him over Michigan State. He comes here, him and Trent can't coexist. Mark's jealous, and also there's stuff with him and Underwood, where then Underwood has an internal investigation the next year, and Mark goes the other side. Like,
right.
This is, there's a lot going on here.
Okay.
There's a lot going on.
You guys have put me in my place.
I think you're right as far as just the sheer, we don't like them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We need to win
it's
this
It's still
game.
As important. In other words, it's as important to, who can I say? Who's a guy, who's a junior on this team? Demonte. It's just as important to Demonte as it was for Bardo or Gill or on down the road, right, to win this game. But I certainly see what you're talking about with regards to that.
Like
a Larry Smith back in the day. He was from the St. Louis area, and I'm sure. But Larry Smith didn't commit to Missouri and then switch sides and come to Illinois. That's the thing that's interesting in that.
As an onlooker, I like that it's personal between the players and it's personal between the coaching staff, because I think you don't have that in the Big Ten anymore. When is Indiana and Illinois, Bob Knight and Lou Henson didn't like each other.
No.
I don't think you, when you get into that now, I think it's more the fan bases that dislike each other more than it's the teams.
That's
just what I've noticed recently. Then again, when Illinois, when you're not good, you tend not to have as many personal rivalries.
That's a good point.
You don't make people mad when you lose to them.
And probably the AAU changes that a little bit, right? These guys all know each other, whereas 10 years ago, they probably knew each other, but they weren't seeing each other every weekend. One weekend in Indy, one weekend in Atlanta, one weekend in Dallas. So that maybe changes that a little bit. But, hey, you and Alec, though, I mean, it's hard to argue with that, when the fact that the personal stuff on the court with regards to, hey, you were my teammate, and then you decided to go here. So you guys know that makes that's a great opinion on both of you. Absolutely a great opinion. All right, 359-2255 if you'd like to weigh in. Talked a lot about signing day for Illinois football. The class ranks 64th nationally, 13th in the Big Ten, 12th by the average star rating in the Big Ten. And, of course, Illinois still waiting for the February commitment of Jaden Thompson, the wide receiver from state of Illinois. So when he hopefully signs, he will be the only kid from Illinois that signs in this class thus far. No other Illinois kids on this signing today of the 12 players that Illinois signed. Went around the world of Big Ten football. Also visited with Mike Kelly, radio voice of the Missouri Tigers. Good stuff to hear from Mike. When we come back, Mark Grody, Bears sideline reporter. We'll talk Bears. We have to, Derek.
Let's do it.
We got to do it. It's the Drive.
In search of a battery that won't let you down, even in the lowest temperatures? We've got you covered at America's number one battery destination. At AutoZone, we have the proven tough Duralast batteries you need to drive with peace of mind this winter. They're tested in extreme conditions, which means you can count on them to deliver when you need them most. Stop in today or visit AutoZone.com, and we'll help you find the start you're looking for. Based on data from the NPD Group Incorporated, Car Care Track 12 months ending December 2018.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
This is Stephanie Pratt, Cole Banker Real Estate Group, your realtor that rocks the real estate market. And I'm going to take you round and round with Rat at the Arcata Theater on December 27th. This is a sold-out show for Stephen Piercy and the gang, and only one lucky listener and a friend get to go with me. Listen to The Drive and text the word RAT when Tay and Piper cue you in. So we're rocking with Rat and the realtor that rocks, Stephanie Pratt, Cole Banker Real Estate Group, Larry's Limousine Service, the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, Illinois, and ESPN 93.5.
Fly into the Hub. holiday season with Cardinals Ticket Packs. 5, 6, and 10-game ticket packs are on sale now and feature the season's top games and promotional dates. Choose from the opening day pack, the jersey pack, the bobblehead pack, weekend packs, and more. For a limited time, upgrade your pack to a premium pack to guarantee all-included promo items. Ticket packs start at just $54 and are on sale now. Get yours at cardinals.com/holiday. St. Louis Cardinals, time to fly.
Fly into the holiday season with all-inclusive Cardinals tickets. All-inclusive tickets start at just $54 and feature a full buffet, complimentary bar, plus a great view of the game. Choose from the newly renovated Legends Club, the UMB Champions Club, Proficient Red Jacket Club, National Car Rental Club, and more. Give the gift of date nights, the gift of family time, the gift of Cardinals baseball. Get your single game all-inclusive tickets now at cardinals.com/holiday.
Hey, Illini fans, we're going bowling. Coach Lovie Smith and your football team are bowl-bound for the first time since 2014. Get all your gear to show your support at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Whether you're looking for a great gift for the Illinois football fan in your life or just looking for a celebratory bowl t-shirt, Game Day Spirit is the store for you. Find us in Champaign or online 24/7 at gamedayspirit.com. And go Illini!
At the Happy Honda Days sales event, you can unwrap incredible deals that'll make you,
oh my gosh,
you know, the kind of gift that makes you,
no way,
or even,
awesome.
Yep, that's basically Happy Honda Days in a chest nutshell. Get a great deal on a 2019 Accord from KBB.com's best overall brand for 2019 with 1.9% APR financing for well-qualified buyers. Hurry into your local Honda dealer today.
See dealer for financing details. Excludes hybrid models based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book. Visit KBB.com for more information.
At the Happy Honda Days sales event, you can unwrap incredible deals that'll make you,
oh my gosh,
you know, the kind of gift that makes you,
no way.
Yep, that's basically Happy Honda Days in a chest nutshell. Get a great deal on a 2019 Civic from KBB.com's best overall brand for 2019.
Visit your Central Illinois Honda dealers or go to CentralILHondaDealers.com.
Based on 2019 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for more information.
At Everyday Kitchen, Restaurant, and Bar, we believe that food makes you feel good. Inspire your palate with new favorites like the Philly cheesesteak flatbread or stuffed acorn squash. Our expert mixologists have crafted cocktails ideal for sweater weather, including the chai apple martini or hot buttered rum. Join us for lunch, dinner, or weekend brunch for the Spitfire ham and eggs benedict and award-winning Bloody Mary. No matter what time of day, we bring honest goodness and fresh inspiration to every plate and glass. At Everyday Kitchen, book your table at EverydayKitchen.com.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Derek Piper.
When you're right, you're right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That is right. And we're 4 minutes late in getting to Mark Rohde, and Mark's like, come on, guys. Mark, what's up, my man?
Hey, no problem at all, because I am just living in traffic right now. So I got all night for you guys.
I paid your lovely city, and I mean that. My brother lives up there. I paid your lovely city a visit twice last week, once via the train and once via the car, and cruised Michigan Avenue a little bit, doing a little shopping. That was always fun to do, and it just amazes me every time I go back to Chicago. My brother always used to kid that I would go back up there, and I always wanted to eat at a pizza place called Pequod's, and he's like...
Pequod's, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pequod's, I'm sorry. And you know, the writing on the wall and everything. And so my brother would always be like, Lon, there are 5 million restaurants up here if you want to try something different. But I just love Chicago and the feel of it, especially at Christmas time. Michigan Avenue, they do such a wonderful job with the lights and everything. Do you ever get tired of living in a city like that, that there's literally something to do every minute?
No, you know what? I don't. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's funny because, like, I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and, like, a lot of my friends who used to live in the city have now sold out, as I like to say, and moved back to the suburbs and to have families and things like that.
Right.
And I am resisting with every ounce of strength that I have to maintain my city lifestyle. So, no, I love it. The traffic stinks at times, but that's a little thing called opportunity.
There you go.
I suppose.
Boom. I love it, man. At Mark Grote Sports. That's G-R-O-T-E Sports. At Mark Grote Sports, as you would find him on Twitter. All right, I'm going to turn the first question over to my buddy Derek Piper here, who is a Bears fan. And, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are bad, but we knew that going in. I did not expect this, Derek.
A lot of directions to go with this question. I mean, asking the question is the easy part. Unfortunately, Mark's got to be able to come up with some answers. Mark, so the Bears are no longer, quote-unquote, in the hunt, losing to the Packers to go to 7-7. I guess for a team that had such high expectations, where do you start as someone that's been around this team all throughout the season as far as how you break down where this team is at now? How did it get there?
Yeah, I mean, it's the offense, period. And if you want me to really zero in, it is quarterback. It is Mitchell Trubisky and the fact that he just did not take that next step. At least he didn't do it throughout most of the season. We're starting to see glimpses of him being a lot better and maybe closer to what a lot of us thought he would be in his development early in this season. But the offense this year, a lot of this year, has just been a mess. You know, the defense is still top five. The defense has certainly not been elite. I mean, they're not as good as they were last year. They're not getting the pick sixes. They're not forcing the turnovers, and they're allowing bigger chunks and some alarming drives like they did against Dallas in that first drive, Kenny Galladay play against Detroit. So the defense is not as good as it was, what it was, but the offense, another part of the offense too, and in like, I can talk about every position group, but I'll put it, you know, quarterback and then the other spot specifically on that offense that was a mess this year was tight end. And that is such a key component to the Matt Nagy offense, the U tight end spot where you line the guy up anywhere was non-existent. That was supposed to be Trey Burton. Your inline tight end, your Y tight end, Adam Shaheen, was non-existent this year as well. So two big parts to making this offense go were not around. Starting to see some of it now with Jesper Horsted, and obviously wide receiver wise, Anthony Miller has shown something recently. But there's just so many things to pick apart as far as the offense is concerned. And in that rambling I just gave you, I didn't even mention the offensive line, which has had its fair share of problems as well.
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to ask you more about that. Of course, we'll get back to the quarterback. There's plenty of time to hit on that.
Yeah,
one,
I've even got questions about that.
With the offensive line, I mean, they got dominated up front. Kenny Clark had a big-time day for the Packers. And then you look at the running game. I asked you heading into the season how much of it was Jordan Howard, how much was the offensive line. Now you put in David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen. This team is 29th to 30th in yards per carry. How big of a concern going into the offseason or heading towards that is the offensive line and trying to find some answers there?
Yeah, I mean, I do think it's a big concern. They changed things around, obviously. You had James Daniels to start at center this year, and now he and Cody Whitehair have swapped Whitehair, who was the guard. So that has occurred, the whole Kyle Long debacle and his injury and just not playing well, and I doubt that you'll ever see Kyle Long in a Bears uniform again. Rashad Coward is the developmental guy, man. I mean, like, he has been okay at times, and he's gotten beat badly at times this year, and I suppose that you would expect a guy who's getting his first taste of starting on an offensive line in the National Football League, a guy that was converted from a defensive player to an offensive player. I think Bobby Massey has played pretty well, but he's been injured. He's missed, I think, three or four games now this year. Charles Leno has been a penalty machine. Like, he has not looked like himself this year. So it's possible that they'll evaluate one of the guard spots, one of the tackle spots, and possibly make a change at those positions next year. I think that's really important to consider in terms of scheme and what Matt Nagy at least claims he wants to do with the running game. And I think he finally realized that his breaking point this year when that record low 7 carries for 16 or 17 yards or whatever it was, that was the point at which Nagy was finally like, okay, We'll do a little bit of high formation. We'll bring in an extra offensive lineman. We'll add a fullback. But now they just have to reconstruct the whole thing. It just hasn't worked yet. And like I've said a ton of times about David Montgomery. Montgomery might be a really good running back. I just don't know yet based on all the issues they've had collectively.
Mark Grody, Bears sideline reporter. He's cruising down Fullerton and Halstead right now at about 2 miles an hour. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports. I don't know how you'd be cruising down Halstead and Fullerton at the same time. That would be pretty good. That would be really good, in fact. All right, Mitch Trubisky, how much competition will he have next year? I mean, there's so many ways to put this. I mean, will he be back? Your faith in him becoming, you know, kind of, I mean, he showed signs last year. That's what drives me nuts. And then, you know, you got to bring somebody in, right, to battle him.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, going south on Lakeshore Drive right now, and somebody made a big, big block for me. I've got an opening. I'm actually moving at 40 miles per hour
right
now.
Take it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is great. Busted through the hole. I got the lake on the left side. I got the beautiful buildings on the right side. So it's a good moment right now.
That was a good play-by-play of that. That was excellent.
You know, Mitchell Trubisky, definitely, I don't know if he's going to have competition next year necessarily, but I believe there will be two different quarterbacks in there other than Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray. Chase Daniel has been a great coach on that staff for all practical purposes. He's a terrific guy to talk to. He does know the offense inside and out, but he's not a guy who, if you have to hand the offense over to on a regular basis, five or six games, or a guy that you want to put in and still win games. And I think that Chase Daniel has proved that he's just not that guy, that's not the guy. And if the Bears are unsure about Mitchell Trubisky, and it seems like a lot of people are unsure about Mitchell Trubisky, you definitely got to bring in somebody who would be capable of starting games, if not competing with Trubisky. I still say, look, it's possible that they bring in somebody to have a real competition with Trubisky, but I do think that he still heads into training camp next year as the number one guy, but just a few more critical eyes on him from the coaching staff and knowing that you'll have player X, whomever it might be behind him, who might have to step in if things don't get better. Because if they look like they did at the beginning of this year, next year, then you have to see a change in quarterback.
I agree. Totally agree.
Mark, that's hard to hear. It's not personal. I know you just had to deliver the message. But with Mitch, he made some plays against the Packers. He did.
He did.
You know, with his feet, I like what he did against the Cowboys. And then you see, you know, basic throws against, well, it wasn't basic, rolling to his right, throwing across his left to Anthony Miller against Green Bay. But then he throws the interception to the defensive lineman. I wanted to ask you about, there's been a storyline of potential friction between him and Matt Nagy. How much do you buy into that? Not only where Mitch has said, yeah, I'd like to get outside of the pocket more. Do they not mesh as far as the style that Nagy wants to run versus what fits Trubisky, or just personally as a quarterback and head coach relationship?
I think they get along great, actually. I mean, there was this little bit of Trubisky, at least it was perceived as him or inferred as him, going a little bit outside of the company line in the post game against Green Bay, where he said that he definitely thought there were things that they could have done as an offense to help the offensive line, and that is to, you know, for Trubisky to roll out a little bit more, to use his feet, play action, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Matt Nagy was asked the question if he heard the comments. Of course, he said he didn't. It was drawn out to him exactly what he said, and Nagy said that he and Mitch are as close as anybody in that building. I believe it because, you know, I see them together so much. It seems like Trubisky genuinely likes him, and he almost to a fault sometimes in his press conferences that we watch or a part of every single week, he utters all the same words that Matt Nagy does. Like, they speak the same language, and he parrots it. It gets a little annoying from our perspective because he doesn't – it's almost like he's not himself. He's just being an extension of his head coach. But for a coach, that's an absolute dream because he's a guy that listens to his head coach. So, yeah, I don't think that there's an issue with those two. I mean, Nagy has always said that he wants Trubisky to express it to him when there's something that he doesn't like in the playbook. and vice versa. Trubisky has said the same thing. So it's something to monitor, but I think right now things are good.
Mark, last one for me. How deserving of criticism is Khalil Mack? Essentially, you wouldn't have known he was on the football field until late in the game, Aaron Rodgers falls down, and he gets credited for that tackle for loss. But with the season on the line and your highest paid guy, the guy you gave up three first round picks, was essentially invisible. How deserving of criticism is he? And then also, does that say something about the other side where Leonard Floyd is maybe not helping him out?
Yeah, this is going to sound crazy, but he does deserve, Khalil Mack does deserve criticism for not being spectacular. I mean, it's bizarre to say, but he has set such a high precedent for himself, based on what we've seen him do in the past, based on the cash that he's making, highest paid defensive player ever in the NFL. So I think that when somebody is playing at that level in terms of money and the expectation, that he is open to criticism, and 7.5 sacks is not enough for somebody like him. Now, he hasn't had Akeem Hicks in there for a big chunk of this season, for what, 8 games? And, you know, obviously you don't have a guy clogging things up down there on the defensive line and occupying other guys. It's going to make life difficult. Leonard Floyd has not been good at sacking the quarterback, guy that was drafted 9th overall. You know, his linebackers coach says that he's one of the best Sam linebackers in the league, that he does everything that they ask him to. But there's just not another guy who sacks the quarterback on this team. You know, Roquan Smith had 5 last year, 3 this year. Most of his are by design. They're dialed up blitzes. And Roy Robertson Harris had started both of his seasons with the Bears super fast, but there just hasn't been another guy that has gotten the quarterback. So there's some things working against Khalil Mack is what I'm trying to say. However, Mack has set this crazy precedent and a level at which he plays that it's okay for people to say, yeah, we expect you to have double-digit sacks, and he doesn't have it.
Amen. Mark Grody, great stuff, my friend. As he's cruising down Lakeshore Drive, I had a chance to listen to a lot of you guys on the way back Sunday driving home. Jeff Joniak, I think, does a wonderful job with the play-by-play there for the Bears. Just a good thing to listen to. Unfortunately, the product hasn't been as good as a lot of Bears fans needed it to be this year. Follow Mark on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports. Always appreciate you giving up your time, Mark. I know you're a busy man. Thank you so much, my friend.
No problem, guys, and I am on Michigan Avenue now.
All right. He's getting there. Hey, happy holidays.
Same to you guys. Have a great one.
All right, buddy. Mark Grody. We took him from Lakeshore to Michigan Avenue. So there you go. We're slowly getting him home is what we're doing. All right. I want you to listen close, Derek Piper, because this is music that is good for your soul. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Round. Listen, Rat is performing at the Arcata Theater on December 27th, and Stephanie Pratt, the realtor that rocks, wants to wrap up the year with a bang and take you and a friend in one of Larry's limousines to enjoy this rockin' show. Right now, if you're interested in qualifying for this, you'll get a chance to be the person that gets to go with you and a friend. So to qualify, I want you to text in the word RAT, RATT. If you send in RAT, you're not going. Is that fair? I mean, come on. It's RAT, RATT, 359-2255, 359-2255. We're going to take 2 qualifiers today to win a pair of tickets to this sold-out show in St. Charles. It's just north of Aurora. Oh, hold on. Good stuff, Derek. If you want to go to the show, text RAT, R-A-T-T, now for the Friday, December 27th show. Now, please be able to go to the show. So if you are selected as the winner, we need you to be able to go on the 27th. You'll ride in a limousine with Stephanie Pratt, some of her friends. Yeah, I mean, count me in, right? We'll get our winner on Friday the 20th, and it could be a great stocking stuffer for the realtor that rocks, from the realtor that rocks, Stephanie Pratt, Larry's Limousines, and the Arcata Theater. You can follow that, arcatatheater.com and ESPN 93.5. RAT, R-A-T-T. We're back. It is the drive.
She says, I knew right from the beginning.
my refrigerator one morning and everything is warm. This is not how I wanted to start my day. I bought it 5 years ago at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, so I called them. They told me it was still under the free protection plan. Wow, my day just got better. They sent a technician right out, and he said it needed a new control board, inverter, support motor, and gasket. Normally a $1,269 repair, but he charged me nothing. Zip, zero, nada. Boy, am I glad I bought it at Dick Van Dyke. Wow.
I'm Dennis Regan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This is a true story that happened here in Champaign-Urbana within the past month. Most of our appliances come with our exclusive free 10-year protection plan and the fast service to back it up. Wow.
Music all over the house, and I love listening to talk radio. And if I want to listen to any of that, I just turn to Sonos. Andy from Premier Sound is with me. What's up, my man?
What's up, buddy? How are you doing today, Lon?
You have been talking to me about Sonos for so long. Explain a little bit how awesome this product is.
Absolutely, buddy. Sonos, the best way to describe it is the coolest streaming music service system on the planet. You could come into Premier Sound, you could buy a speaker. Literally, and the speaker is the size of a quart of oil. You could get one the size of a shoebox.
Awesome.
You could get one as large as a sound bar, and you literally control every one of those boxes. Or even if you have speakers in your house, you control all of those from your phone, your laptop, your iPad, your Android phone. Any smart device you have, you can literally, and I'm not exaggerating, buddy, you could stream unlimited radio stations, 110,000 radio stations from everywhere in the world, tens of thousands of podcasts, and every kind of music you could imagine under the sun all from your phone. You got to come check it out.
Premier Sound.
Come see me. Corner of Prospect and Bradley in Champaign.
Tis the season of giving. With Busey's mobile app, give yourself peace of mind and simplify your financial life. Deposit checks, transfer funds, check balances, and pay bills wherever you are this holiday season. Visit busey.com or stop by one of our many convenient locations for solutions to your banking and wealth management needs. Busey, your dream, our promise. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Do you know a family that deserves a special Christmas blessing? Hi, this is Justin Gensler with 217 Mortgage. Christmas is my favorite time of year, and the team at 217 Mortgage could use your help making someone's Christmas a little brighter. Email me at justin@217mortgage.com, and I will announce the winner of $500 on December 20th. Maybe it's a struggling parent that is just trying their hardest and just needs a break. At 217 Mortgage, we just want to make a difference in one person's life this holiday season. Again, send your nomination with a short description of why your nominee deserves a special Christmas blessing to justin@217mortgage.com.
Standing up or standing out, that's simply what life's about. Flowers grow in sunshine when weeding gives them space, blooming in the sunlight and warmth of nature's grace. This holiday season, spread joy with flowers from the Blossom Basket Florist, Cunningham Avenue in Urbana, and at the Crossing in Champaign. Or call 367-ROSE.
We turn your feelings into flowers, the Blossom Basket Florist.
When your car breaks down, you realize just how much you need it. And when it breaks down, Beaumont Alignment Plus steps up. For routine maintenance like brakes, oil changes, tune-ups, batteries, and tires, you can count on Beaumont Alignment Plus. Bigger issues, including alignment, suspension work, starters, alternators, transmission, require specialists. So get to know Beaumont Alignment Plus for your vehicle repairs. With locations on Bloomington Road and Denison Drive in Champaign, you're never far from the help you need. It's good to know the quality service is still affordable at Beaumont Alignment Plus.
Aw, it's a BB gun.
What's wrong, Ralphie? It looks like there are two more gifts over there. Open them.
It's a moving truck. It's two professional movers. Wow, I got two men in a truck for Christmas. Now we don't have to deal with moving in the winter on our own. This is the best Christmas ever.
Get your holidays moving stress-free. Go to twomenchampaign.com to start your free estimate.
Full-size moving trucks will not fit under most Christmas trees. Movers and trucks are not sold separately.
At the award-winning Honda BMW, if you'll go in now,
You have a chance to buy a new Honda at 0.9% financing for 72 months. That doesn't happen very often. Get your details at drivechampagne.com or stop by the award-winning dealership off Neal at Burwash in Savoy. It's Honda BMW. Again, 0.9% financing for 72 months till the end of the year. Visit Honda today. DriveChampagne.com online off Neal at Burwash in Savoy.
Hey guys, it's Shane from Rosati's. Hard to believe, but Christmas is less than 40 days away. And I'm here to remind you that gift certificates from Rosati's Pizza make a great gift or stocking stuffer. Right now, buy $25 in gift certificates and get $5 for yourself. You're giving and receiving when you shop local with Rosati's Pizza. Again, buy $25 in gift certificates and get $5 for yourself. We're making your holiday shopping easy this year. Stop in Rosati's at 701 South Gregory in Urbana or give us a call at 328-2334.
Being generous today, we're going to qualify three that'll have a chance to win rat tickets. John Hawk, congrats to him. James and Tracy, congrats to all of them. They are now qualified for a chance to win, which we will select that on Friday the 20th. Chance to go with Stephanie Pratt, Larry's Limousine to see Rat. Yeah, please. All right, I want to thank Mike Kelly and Mark Grody, of course, that joined us today. Derek, it was signing day for Illinois football. 12 guys signed today. 5 defensive linemen, 3 offensive linemen. A couple of the big names, James Frenchie from St. Louis, Reggie Love from St. Louis. Overall, 13th in the Big Ten, 12th by average star, but not a big class right now. And I think they'll save some of that room for some transfer guys.
Yeah, for sure. Hoping for one or two instant impact guys, but some guys for the long-term success. James Frenchie, Reggie Love, skill position, and then Deuce Spann, quarterback with speed, and then trying to get some depth on the defensive line as well, and be able to flip Jerzon Newton from Maryland to Illinois was a good one.
That was a big one there. They did that there at the end. Also want to thank our bowl winners. It is Dan and Cindy Ditchfield. They are heading to the Red Box Bowl thanks to Duncan, Pia's Sports Bar, and Stevie J Travel. So congrats to Dan and Cindy. You'll hear all about that coming up. All right, Derek, I will see you tomorrow.
You will. We're what picking against the spread for bowl games tomorrow.
Oh, is that what we're doing?
I think we're doing that.
Who else? Oh, Nick Hardy. That's what I was going to say. Nick Hardy, former Illinois golfer, is going to join us tomorrow at 5:05. So we'll do that. We'll pick against the spread. A lot to do there. All right, thank you to Alec. We're out of here. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.